Let's all say amen. I want to say good morning to Highland Heights and want to welcome and thank you for your presence on this morning. Amen. Amen. And I just want to share, and it was good for me this morning to get here and just to fellowship with those that are Christians. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage us that we get here in a timely manner that we can fellowship and just speak to one another before we worship the Lord. Amen. And also those that are on our conference call, just want to encourage you, if your health does not prevent you from assembling, we don't want us to just get comfortable in our homes, but that we come out and worship. We're going to be talking about worship service on this morning, and want to encourage us to come out and to worship with the saints. Amen? Amen. But again, we're continuing our study from Timothy's letter. Paul, and he'll identify himself when we start our verse. Paul identifies himself. He was an apostle, a preacher, teacher, and he wrote a letter to Timothy, who was going to serve the congregation at Ephesus. And so he wrote him a letter. And I think from the letter, again, we want to always remember that. Thank you, my brother. We want to always remember that even though this letter was written in the first century, it has application to us today. Amen? It is applicable to December, what's the day, the 3rd or the 4th? The 4th? It's applicable to December 4th, 2022. We can apply the thing that was written then today as we serve God. Amen? And I also want to encourage those that if you have a bulletin, program, whatever you call it. Thank you, my brother. That it has an area in there. I like this because it allows us to, myself, when I'm listening to the Word of God, to take notes. You want to take notes. Write things down that you can go back and look at those things that are said. I'm going to share some things with us from the Word of God. Also, you should have, when you come, have your pen or your pen, a pencil. Also, you have your bulletin to take notes in. Also have your Bible. Some things, again, I'm going to share from the Word of God, the scripture, but then there's going to be time during the sermon. I'm going to say, turn your Bibles to so we can read together those things. Amen? Amen. And so again, let us look at the continue. We talked on the last time before you in 1 Timothy 2. We took from verse number 4 of 1 Timothy 2 where Paul said, who would have all men to be saved. That was my subject last time. God's will, God's desire is that every person be saved. Amen? Amen. However, to be saved, Paul said they have to come into the knowledge of the truth. Right. And so on this morning, we want to continue that study. And if you want to study ahead, we'll be looking at text, and I do text preaching where we can take the text and make it applicable to where we are and what we're doing today. So my subject on this morning, Paul said to Timothy that he was a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in verity. Paul said that. Paul said that, and he wanted Timothy to be a teacher a teacher here to the Gentiles, but to do it in faith and in verity. And I also, and I'll show you in the text, want to be an imitator of Paul or a follower of Paul, and I want to stand before you and I want to teach the Word of God in faith and in verity. Amen? Amen. So let's get started with this lesson on this morning. Paul, in his writing to Timothy, he said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. He said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher, that's where I get my text from, of the Gentiles in faith and in verity. Paul says that he was a preacher. A preacher is one who proclaims the gospel in a public manner. And that's going to be important as we look at our text on this morning. A preacher is one who proclaims the word of God in a public manner. But Paul also said, I am a teacher, a person who teaches something. And he said here, he has simply identified a group, and that group of people were the Gentiles. And he said that I do it in faith and in verity. And so in faith simply means I preach it so those that hear it can have faith or trust in God. We need to have our faith in God this morning. Yeah, we need to trust God. We need to trust God. But also, Paul said, we need to have the word verity means things that are true. And we know, in your Bibles, if you look at John chapter 17, we can identify what truth is. John, turn your Bibles to chapter 17, and the verse is number 17, where Jesus said in that text, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So verity simply means those things that are true. My responsibility is to teach the things that are truth according to the word of God. Amen? And so then Paul here begins talking to Timothy about regulations or rules for church life. He began with the men, and then he talked about the women. And so Paul begins in verse number 8. He talks about rules for men in public worship. Paul said, I will therefore that men everywhere lifting up holy hands without wrath, without doubt. Paul says, I will therefore men pray everywhere. Now, when I think about everywhere, everywhere has a location. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll see where Paul identifies the everywhere. And so that lets us know that we're talking about public worship. Because Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 17. We'll get back to this text. I want to just identify the everywhere. Paul said, for this cause, he said, I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Note what he says. As I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul is talking about when we assemble for public worship. He says, I will therefore that men that pray, that he talks about the character of men. It's going to be important. When he talks about holy hands, nobody's hands are holy, but Paul is talking metaphorically of holy being, behaving, men behaving in an honest way are men that are upright. No man should attempt to offer public service if their life and character is not proper. No man should be up here. I need to examine myself. I need to examine myself. And if I know my life and my character is not right, that's what Paul is saying. He said, lifting up holy hands. He said, and now also along with that, he said, without wrath and doubting. Wrath being, you know, the word wrath has a meaning of a strong feeling of anger, of bitterness. I should not be serving if I got anger, if I got bitterness toward anyone. Yeah, Paul qualified that. Yeah. So when I come to worship God, if I'm participating in serving public service, he's talking to men here. Yeah. There should be a certain character I should have. And also women, we'll see when I get to the next verse, that this applied, that character part applies to men and our sisters. But he said that should be done I'm not angry with nobody. I'm not bitter toward nobody when I come to service, Lord. If I have anger, if I have bitterness, and I'm asked to participate, I simply decline that opportunity. I appreciate you asking, brother. I appreciate you asking, but right now I just want to refrain from serving this Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But again, we have to examine ourselves. Yeah, we have to examine ourselves. Why are we in Corinthians? Well, let me show you that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I always want to try to get book, chapter, and verse. Yeah, so we'll know what the Bible says. You say, well, he said that. Where did the Bible say that? Yeah. Paul, when it, in his second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13, Paul said, examine, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. Paul told the church, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Then he said, prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. So it's the responsibility of all of us to examine ourselves. Sometimes we want to examine other people. We want to look at other people. We want to judge other people. Examine, let the examination start first with you. Yeah, yeah. And then Paul said, if I'm one that's asked to pray or participate in public service, and I know I'm walking upright with the Lord, and I don't have no anger, and doubting means questioning opinion. I'm not out there questioning stuff. I know what the Bible says. Paul said, then that person, those men, are to serve. Amen? Then he talked to the women. He talked to the sisters. He said, in like manner also. And that all or like manner means women, sisters should have character also. Yeah, we need sisters with character. We need sisters that has character in their life and in their walk. You walk with character. I didn't get to the verse. I'm sorry. He says that women, so he talked about men in public worship service. Now he's talking to our sisters in public worship, that they may adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with, and thank you, Harold, for saying that, because I would have missed that. I would have said braided hair. Thank you for saying that. It says broided hair. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. He said, gold, apparel, a costly array. He's saying this is not what it's about. But he said to women that you adorn yourself, you dress up when you come here. He said, modest apparel. Now, he said, what's modest apparel? Modest apparel simply means conforming to the standards of morality. Meaning moral goodness. Then he shows us how we measure that. He said, with shamefacedness. That is, modesty is rooted in your character. In other words, when you come to worship service, you do not attract sexual attention. What I do is I look at myself before I come, and I make sure that I'm dressed, that I don't bring no wrong attention to myself. And then Paul says in that, he said, with sobriety in the text. Sobriety means an inner self-government. Nobody should have to tell you how to dress. You should check yourself, and if I'm exposing too much, I'm showing too much, I need to look at myself. Amen. Yeah. So when I come to worship service, I should want to be admired and not desired. Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't know that. Well, now we know. As we learn better, that's why we come to service. It's my responsibility to teach you. And for some, I'm just stirring up your remembrance. But it's my responsibility to teach you so you have it in clarity. So I may have come to worship today, service today, and I may came, and I may have been showing too much. But Stroud, I'm thankful for you bringing this to my attention. From this point forward, I don't need no sister having to come talk to me, because you have spoke to me. Yeah. Sobriety means I govern myself when I come to worship service. I look at myself in the mirror and I see myself. Yeah. And it ain't about, some people say, well, you got to dress up. No, you just dress. I can only dress in what I have. Yeah. But I want to make sure that I'm doing what the Lord said do. Yeah. Because Paul said in the next verse, he said, but, still talking to our sister, with becoming women professing godliness. The word professing means where someone can see some, you professing. When someone look at you, you are openly showing that you are godly. You're godly. How am I godly? Because I have respect for God when I come to worship service. Yeah. A Christian sister in a character is shown also, notice what he said, by good works. Yeah. So I want to say to Highland Heights, we got to get busy doing some works. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we got a whole community that need to see some good deeds from us. Yeah, we need to go to them, not just have them come to us. We need to look at going to them so we can do some works here that we can reach out to this community of Acres Homes and abroad. Those your friends. So he told the sisters here, but women professing godliness. So understand, sister, you got some work to do also. Yeah. You should be working. Paul talks about that. And then he says to our sisters, he says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Yeah. Paul is saying the position of women in public worship service is that of a quiet learner in manner and in action. Yeah. That's what Paul is saying. Yeah. Because they have to be in subjection. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's see what is subjection. Because subjection means you are subject to someone. Yeah. Sometimes we need to go back and look at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And begin at verse number 1. Let me get there with you. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. Let's see what the Lord says through the Apostle Paul. Paul says, I said about myself earlier, Paul said, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. So I am to follow Paul as Paul follows Christ. But remember, I'm following Paul because Paul is following Christ. He said, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. My responsibility to be an example for the congregation in all things. And when I'm in error, you bring to my attention, I need to apologize. Yeah. Because I'm human just like everybody else. I make mistakes. I have challenges like everybody else. I have issues. I have same thing. But those things that I'm doing, that's right. Paul said, remember me. No thing. He said, keep the ordinances as I delivered unto you. Then verse 3 is our verse. He said, but I would have you to know, I want you to know this, that the head of every man is who? Yes. Paul said, this is the order here. This is, Paul is using a military term here to show that an order, you have different orders. You have the sheriff department, you have the sheriff, you have majors, you have captain, you have lieutenants, you have sergeant. You have that order. In the Lord's church, you have order also. He said in the text, I'm talking about subjection here, that the head of every man, so you have a man here. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is, that's your order. That's your order. You got the woman, that's subjection. You got the woman, you got the man, you got Christ, and you got God. That's the order. We got to be in subjection. Amen? Yeah. That's what the Lord said. Yeah. Go back to Timothy letter. Let me go back to that. Paul finna expand on that. So again, that's, he says, to our sisters. Simply, as you're learning, I got a quiet spirit about me. I'm listening. Now, that doesn't mean that we all should be listening, but he's talking specifically here to whom he's talking to. Amen? Amen? Then he says in verse number 12, he says, but I suffer not. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the who? Yeah, because I just told you why. Because God has an order. Verse 11. See, but I suffer not a woman to teach, one thing, nor to usurp authority over the man. Usurp means to exercise authority over the man, but to be in silence. Yeah. Question on the floor is, can a sister teach? Well, she cannot teach. Can she teach? Sure she can teach. Where that is in the Bible, Brother Stroud, I'm glad you asked me that question. Paul, when he wrote to Titus, he said, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming, notice again, holiness. He said that these aged sisters shouldn't be false. Don't go around accusing nobody falsely. Be careful when you're going around talking about people and you don't have no facts on it. That's sinful. Yeah. He said, not false accusers, not giving them much wine. He said, teachers of good things. So they can teach. Who can they teach? That they may teach the younger women. Teach the younger sisters to be sober, to love their husband, and to love their children. They can teach. Can teach. They teach sisters. He said, teach them to be discreet. Teach them to be chaste. Teach them sisters to be keepers of their homes. Yeah. Yeah. That's your area. Take care of it. He said, be good. Teach them to be obedient to their own husbands. And the reason he said that, he said, because when they don't, that the word of God be not blasphemed, not talking against. Yeah. That's the reason Paul gave that. Can they teach? Sure they can teach. They can teach. Let me show you where they can teach. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 5. Let me give you a Bible. So their teaching is one that can be done privately. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 5, 2 Timothy 1, verse number 5. Yeah, they can teach. Got to teach their children. Paul said concerning Timothy, who he wrote the letter to. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Who taught him? His mom and his grandmother. They taught him. They taught him to have trust in God. They taught him sisters can teach. Amen. But I got to teach in the area where God has given me permission. Also, and stay in that letter, 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul said this concerning Timothy. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Who taught him? His mother and his grandmother. His father wasn't no Christian. Bible says that. Sisters can teach. Can teach. And let me talk about, I missed this point here. When we talk about prayer, can a sister pray? Yes, she can pray. Yes, she can pray. I hope when the brother came up here to pray, all our sisters was praying. But they just can't pray publicly. That's what the Lord is saying. Yeah. Yeah. When the brother said, when Brother Whitaker said, let us bow our head and pray, all of us are praying. Yeah. However, when it comes to praying audibly to be heard, that man ought to lead us in prayer. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, I can even, can sister teach? Sister, I can teach you. Go to Acts 18. I'm sure you're just here. Yeah. We got a brother. We want to teach him. Sister, can you come with me? We need to teach him. We need to teach him. We need to teach him. Yeah, we got this brother. This is privately. Acts 18, verse 24. Let me get there with you. Yeah. I want you to see the situation here. Can she teach? Yes, she could teach. The Bible says in Acts 18, 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. He had been taught. Being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but knowing only the baptism of John. He didn't know about baptism in Christ. He only knew the baptism of John. Bible says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila, that's the man, the husband, and Priscilla, that's his wife, had heard, they, not him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Yeah. A sister can teach a brother privately. Nothing wrong with that. Amen, somebody. Yeah. But we have to do it in the context which the Lord says. Yeah. He can't teach. Yeah. But when I do that, they can teach privately. However, she is forbidden from teaching publicly over the man. That's what Paul said. Go back to that text. Go back there to that text. I want to see where he said over. That's verse 12. Yeah, she is forbidden to teach publicly over the man, which includes preaching, because preaching is a form of teaching. So can't no sister be up here preaching. Yeah, somebody ought to say amen. Yeah, because then she violates what God has said. And then Paul said, because I know there'll be some sisters out there saying why I can't. Yeah. I heard you say that. I heard you. Why I can't? Tell Paul to tell me why I can't. I can talk best as good as him. Barbara Jordan was one of the greatest orators that Houston knew about. Her orating skills were there. Yeah. But it ain't about skill. And it ain't about will. It's about law. Paul said, let me give you some reasons here. He said, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Are we there? Yeah. Paul said, first of all, Adam had priority in creation. Adam was formed first. Secondly, Paul said, Eve was from him and subordinate to him and was formed as a helper suited for Adam. Go to Genesis chapter 2. See this in the Word of God. Paul said, first of all, priority was the first reason. Yeah. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man was first in creation. Amen? Secondly, the Lord told Adam, verse number 18, it is not good. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. God made someone suitable for the man that was the woman. The Bible tells us in verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So Paul say first reason was that man was had priority in creation. Second, the woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. And see, if I'm a sister, and I'm trying to profess and be godliness, I respect what the Word of God says. There ain't no argument. Your job is to teach me what the Word of God said and teach you why I can understand it, Brother Stroud. That's your job. Give me book, chapter, and verse. You're going to say something, give me book, chapter, and verse where I can follow. So we see here, when Paul said that, I reference it in Genesis 2. Man was formed first. The woman was made for the man, and the woman came from the man. Paul said that's first. Secondly, he says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Let's look at that. Stay in Genesis. Go to chapter number 3. Let's read the Bible. This is what you call case study. Let's study the case. That's right. We learn from the Word of God. We can go read and study those things. Let me read in there. Paul said that Adam wasn't deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Genesis 3 and 1. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, see, when you start talking with the devil, you know how sometimes we get thoughts in our mind and they don't come from the Lord? Understand, the devil is here to try to influence us. Also, the devil used people to influence you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paul told the Corinthians, be not deceived. Evil company, corrupt good manner. When your children, your grandchildren start hanging with bad people. Yeah. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. See, be careful, each of us, when thoughts come into our mind, and God gives us a conscience too. So these thoughts come in our heart, and we know they are not right. But we say to ourselves,
Go on and do it, man. Go on and do it. The devil can't enter us as in the first century, but he can influence us as he did Eve. The Bible says, the serpent talking now, for God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods with a little g, knowing good and evil. Yeah. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. Be careful when you desire something that's not spiritual, that's not Christian. We all have desires that's not consistent with the will of God. All of us do. That's the lust of the flesh. That's something that you desire inside of you. That's 1 John 2:16, 15, 16. He said, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Be careful. They said to you, son, be careful, little eyes, what you. Yeah. Sometimes we see stuff and we want stuff that's not consistent with Christian living or living as a Christian. We see stuff. Then he said, it's a tree to be desired to make one wise. Yeah. Be careful when you want to be more than what God wants you to be. Yeah. I want to be all this here, but sometimes we can't be everything we want to be. Yeah. Sometimes in my life, I've done some things. I can't be all that I want to be. Yeah. You know, some people get arrested and they have a felony and they can't be all they want to be because as a felony, there are certain jobs you can't hold. Yeah. Sometimes I can do things. I can mess up my own life. Now, that don't mean I can't go to heaven. But sometimes I can't be all that I may want to be. Yeah, I was just studying this week. I'm in 1 Kings doing my study. And God told Solomon about his son. He said, David can't be able to know how. David is a warrior. You look up David to take your life. David was a bad man. He said, Lord, I want to build you a kingdom. He said, no, you're not going to do it. He said, man, your hands got blood on it. He said, but your son, I'm going to allow him to be a one. The Bible says, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, knowing what God, she said in verse 3, you shall not eat of it. She knew, but she allowed. The word deceive means to be tricked. Yeah. Transgression is to go beyond whatever God said not to do. So Paul reminds Timothy that Adam wasn't deceived. Because the Bible says she gave also to her husband. With her, he did eat. Adam and Eve both sinned. Both of them sinned. He followed her into sin with his eyes wide open. So according to the inspired teaching, women are not to be the leader, but to be in subjection. That's what the Lord said. Yeah. The Lord said that. Paul was speaking from inspiration, from God. But then he gave encouragement, my last verse. He said, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Four things he talked about the sisters. If they continue in faith, in charity, and holiness with sobriety. Paul was identifying that men and women have roles in the church.
Men have a role. Men have a role to lead in worship service. Yeah. Paul says here that notwithstanding she shall be saved, or she shall be kept safe in childbearing. Childbearing simply is one of the duties of a wife. Yeah. That's motherhood. Yeah. So Paul says here that he's talking now to a sister about motherhood. He said, those that are married, if they continue, there's a certain way you have to live. He said, in faith. Faith being trusting in God. So you have to, sister, you have to live where I trust in God. Not only that, I have the word charity here means love for humanity. You got to love everybody. Yeah. And sister, you got to love everybody. Yeah. Shouldn't be no sisters walking around here with alts against each other. That's wrong. Yeah. When I talked about the last class I taught, I shared clearly with all of those that stayed. I'm going to encourage you all, those who worship service over. We do have Bible class now. And if you are available and able, stay for Bible class. That's right. Because I shared in that Bible class that if you have the Bible talk, I talked about where in Matthew 5, where Jesus said that if I remember that someone has an ought against me. Let me go to that scripture. Go to Matthew 5. This is important here. And I'm going to close this morning. Matthew chapter 5. Show you something so we won't miss this point. Yeah, because we got to do things the way the Lord say do it and not the way we want to do it. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to deal with both of them. Jesus said it. And verse number 23. 5:23. And then I'm going to close on worship service, public worship. But I think this is important that we all need to know. Jesus said, he said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and remember that thy brother has an ought against thee. I come to worship service and I remember that a brother has an ought or something against me. Jesus said, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. So I remember, brother got something against me. The Lord says, go to him and settle that issue. Don't be calling nobody else, telling nobody else, talking to somebody else about it.
Amen. There you go.
God said, Jesus said, go and settle with him. Then you can worship the Lord.
That's right.
So I'm saying this to all of us.
That's right.
Sisters, brothers. Yeah. If you remember somebody got something against you, go to that person first and try to reconcile with that person. Yeah. Then the Lord says, and then come and offer your gift to the Lord. Well, Buster, what if I have something against somebody else? I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you for asking that. I appreciate that. Matthew chapter 18. We got to start doing things the way the Lord say do it and not the way we want to do it. Sometimes we think we're right in what we're doing and we're not right according to the word of God.
Amen.
So I got something against somebody else. I got something against a brother. I got something against a sister. Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, he said, moreover, if thy brother trespass against me, he's done something against me, go and tell him, his fault between thee and him
alone. Shouldn't be nobody else there. You don't need no cheerleading section. You don't need nobody in the balcony. The Lord says, go to him and him alone. And Jesus said, if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Go to brother, have something against him. He trespassed against me. I go to him, I share with him, and we make up, he makes up. Then what the Lord said, I have won over my brother. Sometimes you got brothers that won't listen to nobody. Verse 16. And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now hopefully that'll sell it. But if it don't, because sometimes you got brothers and you got sisters, you just stubborn. You're going to do what you want to do. You're going to say what you want to say. The word of God will deal with you. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. He's almost like an unbeliever. That's what the Lord said. So I'm saying this to all of us. Yeah, because the way you keep mess down is by doing things right. You're going to always have mess when we don't do things right. Always. And the thing we need this congregation, we need to show love and be peaceful with one another. But that don't mean we're not going to have differences. But God has told us how you settle them. Not the way I do. I don't get on the phone. I don't text nobody. Man, you know what you did? You know what you did? Girl, I wouldn't have took that from him. When she send you that text, you say, sister, have you talked to him or have you talked to her about that yet? No, I'm telling you, not.
There you go.
Yeah. I ain't no garbage can. You ain't finna dump stuff in me.
There you go.
I'm closing. I'm going to talk to those that are not Christians. So, from public worship, service, it should be conducted where the worshiper is not distracted from the focus on God and on his word.
Yeah. I shouldn't be distracted because I got a brother up here that's not living right. That's a distraction. That distracts me from my worship. Nor should I be distracted by the sister not dressed godly. That's a distraction. When we come to worship service, we should come with our focus on God.
Amen.
I got my pen. I got my notes. I'm taking notes. I'm writing stuff down. And I'm going to do my homework assignment is to review the things I have. And if anything you review that I've said, you have a question, my number is in that program. I don't have no problem. You can question me on anything I say. But what I'm going to try to do is a good job. So when I preach it, I gave you, because generally what I'm going to do, I'm going to say, sis, let's go back to that verse. Brother, let's go back to this verse. I said it already. I said that. I'm not going to get no new verse. I won't go give you what I gave you. There, some people say, well, where you say, go back to that scripture. Where you say the woman can't be over. 1 Corinthians 11. We went over that, sister. We went over that. Yeah. But why you say, I can't pray? But your life is not right. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Brothers, you need to look in the mirror also. Amen. Not just sisters. Amen. I need to look at myself. And if my walk is, you know, we all got stuff in our lives. But if I know my stuff, bring shame on the Lord. Yeah. Brother, I appreciate you for asking, but no, I'm not going to serve today. I appreciate it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go try to get that, whatever it is that's stopping me, I'm going to try to get it right. That's why Paul said, examine yourself. So when we come to worship, worship service, Paul talked about this. And then we get the Lord in the new year. We're going to talk about, we're going to get in. So you can study ahead. 1 Timothy 2. Now we're going to 1 Timothy 3. Study ahead. Homework assignment. Look ahead. You got questions. I should answer your question when I stand up before you. Amen? Yeah. Paul said he was a teacher. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. Christ. In faith and in verity. So I want to stand before this congregation. I want to teach the word of God, trying to build your trust in God through the word of God. And the truth is the word of God. Amen? There may be someone here today. You're not a Christian. You may have brought somebody, a visitor. First Timothy chapter 2, the previous verse, I started verse 7, but in verse 6, it says something real important. Paul told the church, that was my subject last time I was for you. Paul let Timothy know about God. God gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So now I'm talking to the one here that you're not a Christian. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. Now I'm talking specifically to you. Don't want you to miss it. Talking to you. The word ransom, I defined last time I was here, is something paid for the release of someone from captivity. All of us was held captive. All of us was imprisoned by our sins. Every one of us. Yeah. Because Paul told the Romans, he said, all have sinned. Yeah, don't care how good you think you live, you still have been, you're captive. Yeah. So the Bible teaches Christ gave up his life in an atonement or payment for sin. And it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions that are stated in the Bible. Jesus was a propitiation for our sins. He died for our sin. That we have to be obedient to Christ. Yeah. So what I have to do, Brother Stroud, to become a Christian, become a child of God. Yeah. Because I want you to know, until you obey God, biblically, you are not a child of God. You are not a Christian, and you cannot go to heaven. Make that clear. Crystal. Well, tell me what I need to do. Tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, when he said, ye rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you have to first hear something specific from the word of God. Yeah. That what you must hear is the gospel. You must hear the three facts that Jesus Christ died for our sin, that Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. You must believe that. That's what you must hear. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Yeah. And Jesus said in John 6:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. You got to believe that God sent Jesus. You have to believe that Jesus was sent. Okay, Brother Stroud, I heard that Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried, he rose again. I believe that. Okay, so what else? I believe it. Then Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The word perish here means lost eternally. Can't go to heaven. You must repent. Repentance starts with me turning to God and to the word of God. From however I was living, repentance means to turn. Okay, so best God, I'm turning. I know I've been out there and I've been living. I haven't been worshiping God, I've been serving God, but I'm going to change. I want to change. I repent. Okay? So you've heard the gospel, you believe it, you repent, you turn to God. Now, Jesus said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me. You'll confess your sins. We all know you done sinned. All know how to sin. Confess me before men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus said, if you make the statement found in Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I make that confession. Then Jesus said, I will make that confession before my Father, also within heaven, regarding you. Yeah. Now, I want to slow this down because sometimes we can run through this and you have people there that don't really know what they're supposed to do. And it's my responsibility as a teacher. So, okay, verse 5, I've heard the gospel that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. I believe that. I repented of my sins. Now, I will confess. So I have to come down here and I have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yeah, you have to make that confession, that public confession. I believe, found in Acts 8:37, what the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's one more thing you must do before you become a child of God. Yeah, Jesus said it. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I just said that with you, to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So you not only have to believe the gospel, but you got to be water baptized for the remission of all your past sin. Yeah. Then what the Lord does, Acts 2:47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Once you are water baptized for the remission of sin, nobody have to vote on you. The Lord adds you to the church where the saved are. You are saved from your past sins in water baptism. What is the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world over which Christ rules as the head. That's the church. Well, what church? Paul said it, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. Churches of Christ simply is a descriptive phrase to show who it belongs to. Yeah. So if you do that, if you're on the call, you make a phone call and we'll make it happen that you can become a Christian and become a child of God. Right. So this morning, hopefully I'll share with us from this letter, and we'll continue in this letter. We can make it relevant to where we are today, that we come, when I come to worship service, I know my role and my function, and I know what my mindset should be. When I come, I come to worship God. And when I assemble to worship God, I come as a student to hear from the preacher what God's words proclaim. If there's anyone today that would like to respond either by obeying the Lord and put him on the water baptism, or you need to respond in any way you need, we bid you to come and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the blood of the Lamb, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?